أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing with Surah Al-Isra, we've been looking at section 5, and this section looks at the rejecters of revelation, the consequences of their actions and advice to them. And we will continue today with Ayah 53, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَقُلْ لِإِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ, and say to my slaves that they speak that which is better. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَنْزَغُ بَيْنَهُمْ, surely shaitan wants to create friction amongst them. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ كَانَ الْإِنسَانِ عَدُوًا مُبِينًا, surely the shaitan is an open enemy to the human beings. In a historical context, the Quraysh were saying really horrible things, and they were invoking the Muslims to respond. And sometimes when the human being gets angry, we say things that we may regret. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you speak, find a better way. Find a way that is less offensive. Find a way that you will not regret. Using the right language is a sign of one connected to Allah. Communication is not only about words, but perception and how they're received. Here the admonition, the general admonition, is always to use better words. There's a beautiful poem that maybe puts this into perspective. It says, soft words in a lullaby put a baby to sleep. Hateful words stir violence. Eloquent words will send armies into the face of death. Encouraging words will fan the flames of a genius, of a Salman or a Jabir. Powerful words will mold the public mind as the sculptor molds his clay. Words spoken or written are a dynamic force. They're the swords we use in battles for success and happiness. How others react towards us depends in a large measure upon the words we utter to them. Life is a great whispering gallery that sends back echoes of the words we send out. Our words are immortal. They go marching through the years in the lives of all those with whom we come into contact with. And it is those words that will survive us. So many ahadith on how to talk. The Prophet ﷺ said, a person is hidden under his tongue. Don't begin a conversation without first greeting the person you're talking to. Keep away from a conversation which is without a name or object, for it lowers your position. Do not argue with foolish and ignorant people, because they will hurt you with their nonsense. And something that is so important, your speech is under your control as long as you do not speak. But once you speak, you come under the control of your words. So guard your tongue as you guard your gold and silver, for many a word is a blessing but leads to displeasure. And then Allah says in Ayah 54, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ, your Rabb knows you best. He knows all about you. إِنْ يَشَاءَ يَرْحَمْكُمْ أَوْ إِنْ يَشَاءَ يُعَذِّبْكُمْ, if he pleases, he will have mercy on you. If he pleases, he will punish you. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا, and we have not sent you as being responsible for them. In other words, it's telling the Prophet, you're not responsible for their behaviors. They are. Ayah 55. وَرَبُّكَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, your Rabb knows what is in the heavens and the earth. And then he says, وَلَقَدْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَ النَّبِيِّينَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, we have made some of the prophets excel others. So the Ahlul Kitab, when they heard the Prophet talking about Prophet Musa and all the other prophets in the revelation in the Quran, they now started comparing. Who is better, Musa or the Prophet, and so on and so forth. And here Allah is saying, it is not your job to do that. We gave different aspects to different prophets. And he ends it by saying, وَعَتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ زَبُورًا, we gave Dawood the Zabur. And then back to the subject at hand. He says, قُلْ, tell them, قُلْ إِدُوا الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ مِنْ دُونِهِ فَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ قَشْفَ الذُّرِ عَنْكُمْ وَلَا تَحْوِيلًا, call on those on whom you have confidence, on whom you assert besides Allah. They cannot control the removal of distress. They cannot alleviate harm from you, nor can they exercise any change. They cannot change your situation. In fact, Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةِ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ وَيَرْجُونَ رَحْمَتَهُ وَتَخَافُونَ عَذَابَهُ إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّكَ كَانَ مَحْظُورًا. Those whom you call upon, those whom you have made objects of worship, he's talking to those who cover up the truth, they themselves seek the means of access to their Rabb. They want to get near their Rabb, and they hope for his rahmah, and they fear his punishment, and the punishment of your Rabb is something that is warned about. And then an example he gives, he says, first of all, وَإِن مِّن قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا نَحْنُ مُهْلِكُوهَا قَبْلَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ There's not a town that we will destroy it before the day of resurrection. أَوْ مُعَذِّبُوهَا عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا Or will punish it with a severe punishment. كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَسْطُورًا That's written in the divine record. If you go against the edicts of divinity, if you start becoming unjust, there is bound to be the adab or the destruction from divinity. So the Quraysh said, well, okay, give us visible miraculous signs. If this is all true, give them to us. And Allah says, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا وَمَا نُرْسِلُ الْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا Nothing could have prevented us that we should send signs except that the earlier ones rejected them. Look at what we gave Thamud, he says. We gave them a she-camel. It was a manifest sign. It was a visible sign. But on her account, they saw her, but they did injustice. And we do not send signs, but to make human beings God-conscious. Allah is saying the she-camel was clearly visible, but they rejected it. It makes no difference. The belief comes from within. The change comes from within. And finally, ayah 60 of this section, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لَكَ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ أَحَاتَ بِالنَّاسِ And when we said to you, your Rabb encompasses human beings. He has a 360 view of you. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ والشجرة الملعونة في القرآن ونخوفهم فما يزيدهم إلا طغيانا كبيرا. We did not make the vision which we showed you but a trial for human beings. It's talking about the connotation of Isra. And the cursed tree, the tree of Zakum in the Quran, we cause them to fear, but it only adds to their rebellion. In other words, we wanted you to be in awe of Isra al-Mi'raj. But you just turned against it. So the cursed tree is the tree of Zakum found at the entrance of Jahannam. The connotation is that they will not believe in Isra even though the proofs are so manifest because they do not believe in accountability. So just to recap, we're looking at Surah Al-Isra, a Makki Surah, 111 ayat, 10 sections. We've now finished looking at 5 sections. The first section was Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, the elevation and the consolation to the Prophet. The second section was the history of the Bani Israel. It was summarized so beautifully in a few ayat. The third section, we looked at the human being, how he calls for evil as though he's calling for good. We looked at section 4, where there was a Quranic version of the Ten Commandments and warnings. And now we've looked at section 5, which was consequences of the actions of the rejecters of revelation and admonitions or advice to them. Inshallah, tomorrow we will look at section 6. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ